government doesn't care about you. That's why you need a medical emergency kit. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, Z-Pak, and antibiotics. Stock them before they block them.
This is a special report.
Knowing how to invest your money is harder than ever before. Dealing with stock market volatility, record debt, and terrorist attacks requires new thinking. At U.S. Asset Management, we can help you see the world more clearly so that you can move beyond the chaos and invest with confidence. Call us, visit us online, or drop by our office. U.S. Asset Management, helping you make better decisions with your money.
Okay, we're back with Senator Johnson. Senator Johnson, I've interviewed Tara Rodas and I've interviewed Deborah White, and they have come before you as whistleblowers on the inside that work for the federal government. I think the combination of the two is probably, you know, almost 35 years. And they volunteered. They ended up volunteering because there was a call to, you know, come and help HHS to help the unaccompanied children. And these two women went in with big hearts and they arrived on site after no training. They went to Dallas first and then they went out to California. And they found a trafficking operation and rules and regulations that had been changed. What's the most shocking thing that you're learning about these whistleblowers from their perspective?
I'm not shocked by any of it. I was holding hearings. I said this in our event, the public event, I guess you could call it, because it's not a hearing. Back, you know, when I was chairman of Homeland Security, we held something like 36 hearings on different aspects of you know, the human depredations of the flow of illegal immigrants into this country. One of those hearings in June 2019, when Kamala Harris was on my committee, we had testimony about a 51-year-old illegal immigrant who confessed to buying an infant boy for $84. You know, I knew of all the sex trafficking, all the human depredations, the stash houses, and as did Kamala Harris and her staff. So I think what should be most shocking is I realized it was new to these two women who are, you know, God bless them for coming forward as whistleblowers. You know, they were detailees. They've heeded the call. They want to try and help out, to try and place, reconnect unaccompanied children to potentially their parents or family members, or connect them to safe sponsors. And they found out that the Biden administration is just shuffling these children into the arms of people the Biden administration obviously knows are members of transnational criminal organizations that engage in human and sex trafficking. It's not a secret. They know this to be a fact. But as one of the whistleblowers reported, somebody told her, well, one of her higher ups said, well, we don't get sued by, you know, unaccompanied children. We get sued by, you know, basically liberal groups if we hold a child longer than the Florida settlement time period. So that's the game they're playing, and it's a deadly game. It's a game that results in the grotesque human depredations. And again, apparently the Biden administration, their excuse was that the Trump administration's closed border policy was inhumane. So they opened it up, and in doing so, now they are facilitating the multi-billion dollar business model of some of the most evil people on the planet, the drug, the human sex traffickers. They're doing it knowingly, they're doing it willingly, and their willing accomplices in the media continue to cover up for them. Let's face it, it's over a year ago, I think now, that, you know, God bless the New York Times reporter who actually reported on the fact that 85,000 unaccompanied children could not be accounted for. Well, where do you think they went? Okay, a year has lapsed. So again, I appreciate Senator Grassley and, you know, those whistleblowers. You know, we hold this event, but none of it came as a surprise to me. Certainly shouldn't come as a surprise to the mainstream media. But Christine, I have to admit, did that hearing or that event get much coverage in the mainstream media?
Well, it didn't. I mean, they're ignoring it. And I say this as somebody who's covered human trafficking now for almost 25 years all over the world in every different phase, from organ to medical to sex, you know, internet, street, labor, child soldiers. A lot of the mainstream media does not know how to do these investigations. I was down on the border back in 2012, 13, 14, our U.S. border. This is after I did the Arab Rising. And I concluded that even though Obama was the first black president of the United States, his policies, foreign and domestic, contributed to the increase of human trafficking, especially in terms of the Arab Rising and also in terms of the open border at that time when he was president. Now, in terms of what happened during the Trump administration, the numbers went down, clearly went down. And then they have skyrocketed under Biden. And Biden's foreign policies and his domestic policies have increased human trafficking. There's no doubt about it in my mind whatsoever. And what I don't know is if people on the Hill are willing to acknowledge that these foreign policies, I mean, anytime you have a foreign policy, it doesn't matter to me whether you have somebody on the right or the left. If the end of the day that the policy, domestic or foreign, increases human trafficking or puts children at risk or abuses children, it needs to be shut down.
Well, you said the mainstream media doesn't know how to do these investigations. That may be true.
They don't know how to recognize it as a lot of them have never done the trafficking. I've trained a lot of investigators, but they don't have the will to do it because of politics.
Well, that's the point I wanted to make. Mm-hmm. They may not know how to do the investigation, but the biggest impediment is they don't want to do the investigation. They don't want to reveal what is happening because of Joe Biden's open border policy. Again, they're advocates for the left. They mm-hmm. want a new world order. They want global governance. They want a world without borders. That's what they're advocating for. So the last thing they're going to do is report on the results of that open border. How that humane open border policy is again resulting in just the most inhumane depredations. I mean, it is grotesque. I mean, I've heard such horrific stories. I don't even want to say them tell them where it's being broadcast. It's just, it's horrible. That's why I've said some of the most evil people on the planet, ISIS almost pales in comparison, what they do to human beings versus what some of these human sex traffickers do. And again, the Biden administration knows it.
They know it and they willfully turn an eye to it. I mean, I can flippantly say that I think some of these people don't believe in the Magna Carta. They don't believe in the Treaty of Westphalia. They don't believe in sovereignty. They want open borders. At the same time, what I can't wrap my brain around is this. Why are they doing this? What's the end game? Because it's not going to be a success story. And I still don't have the answer to that. I mean, a lot of people think, well, they want people to come here and they're going to register them to vote. That doesn't settle with me completely because we have so many kids that have gone missing that are in the hands of gang members here in the United States.
Yeah, Christine, the only explanation I have is power. They want power. They want control. And, I guess national power is not good enough for them. They want, global governance. They want the UN. They want the World Health Organization, the World Economic Forum. These are mm-hmm. a group of people who think they're so smart. They're the better angels that they can literally direct activity and human behavior globally better than we can trying to run our own lives. So, again, it's just from my standpoint, a whacked worldview.
Oh, it is. It is.
Horrific ideology. It's not like we have to theorize about this. I mean, anybody who's tried this in the past, communism, socialism, we see right now in Venezuela. Venezuelans voted themselves into poverty. They voted socialism and Hugo Chavez. Now the country is pretty well destroyed. So we've seen this time and time again, but you always have that siren song that we're going to take care of you. We're going to make the world better. We're going to turn this into utopia. All we have to do is tax those evil rich people. Again, it doesn't play out. It's not reality, but it sure sounds good to people.
Did you get a chance? I know you were busy last week, but there were pictures that were coming out from Guatemala and southern part of Mexico with this huge caravan of people that are heading this way, trying to get into the United States before November.
Yeah, no, I've seen those, but let's face it. We used to be incensed by these caravans of a few thousand people. I mean, in December last year, on average, it was 10,000 people a day. Yeah. We had one day, it was over 14,000 people a day coming to this country illegally. Since the start of the Biden administration, it's been over 7,000 people a day coming across our border. And of course, that bipartisan bill would have codified about 4,000 to 5,000 and weakened a presidential authority of a president who actually wanted to secure the border. That's such an awful, awful bill. It fell of its own weight.
So let's talk about what President Biden has said. During the debate on June 27th with former President Trump, Biden mentioned during the debate that the numbers were four times lower during the current administration as opposed to Trump's. Now, I thought maybe he was confused because he was off his game that night, for lack of a better characterization. But then the other night when he was in the Oval Office, he said it again off the teleprompter.
Yeah, I don't know what data they're cooking. So, I mean, let me explain things. So Trump's worst month, there were close to 5,000 people per day showing up, but that was a spike. And within 12 months, Trump really brought it down to, in the last few decades, a record low level of people encountered at the Southwest border. That's the chart that I gave Trump that he now credits.
The chart that right. saved his life.
So anyway, the low point was hit in April of 2020. Then you had the Democrat primaries for president. They all were promising they were going to end deportation and give free health care. So what you saw the last few months during COVID, you saw encounters at the Southwest border of single adults start increasing. But at the same time, in March of 2020, right about as we're hitting that low, President Trump also instituted Title 42. Right. So the people that were being encountered on the border were being returned immediately. So the number of people coming in remained really at a very low level from April to the end of the Trump administration. Then Biden got into office, and 90 some executive orders, he threw the border wide open again, averaging more than 7,000 people a day. By the way, the low point was a little over 500 a day in April. So went from 500, started inching up of single adults. Biden came in, and we've been averaging over 7,000 a day. Plus, he ended Title 42. So all the people now coming in and being encountered, by and large, they're all coming in this country. So it was 6, 7, 8 million people. So even though with his executive orders, they've slowed the number of encounters down to, it's almost comparable to where Trump left office in terms of encounters. Trump is returning all those people. Biden is letting them all in. Again, I don't have the current numbers. I don't think it's quite as low as where Trump left office. But again, the point is, Trump wasn't letting them into this country. Yeah, the numbers were increasing again because Democrat presidential candidates say, hey, we're going to give you free health care. So people start coming in. Democrats have always attracted people. They're incentivizing people to come in. It's not a push factor. It's a pull factor primarily. We're welcoming these people in.
Do we know, because I've seen this in migrations, whether it was the Arab rising and people went into Europe, whether it was during the Balkans in the 90s and people went from the Balkans into Europe, and it became more sophisticated by the time they came across the border in 2013. Do we know now if they have those source supplied apps on their phones? Because we did find those back during Arab Rising going into Europe.
This is a well-oiled machine now. Again, you've got non-government organizations who the American taxpayer fund, who are facilitating all this. They're set up in the Darien Gap, and this is all well organized. It's almost like a vacation tour. Bus passes coming up. I mean, there's all forms of different transportation how people get up here, but this is very well organized. One NGO, it's been reported that the piece of paper they give people coming into this country before they come in here is, when you get to America, vote for Joe Biden. It is very well controlled. What they tell Customs Border Patrol is not the reality. They're oftentimes being delivered to human traffickers into stash houses. It's not necessarily family members. I mean, again, it's a wide range of what the reality is. But the bottom line is, people are getting here. They've got cell phones. And so they're calling their family, their friends down in Central America, South America, or from around the country. I think we're up to 180 countries.
Right.
There are less than 200 nations in the world. So just about from every nation on earth have come in during President Biden's open border policy. And they're talking to the people back there and saying, this is easy. Last time I was at the border, CBP told us that the Biden administration's goal is to process and disperse within 8 hours. That's not much friction. That's that's a real incentive for people to come. Yeah, you got to pay a human trafficking fee. And you better be careful, because if you're a young woman, you're probably going to get raped. If you have more money, they're going to kidnap you and demand more money before they release you to some other involuntary servitude. Again, you know, some people come in here, I guess it works out for them. But again, there is a lot of human and sex trafficking in accompanying all this open border flow.
Let's talk about the resettlement in Wisconsin. I understand that in some of the rural areas in Wisconsin, you actually have people that have come in. I think they're from El Salvador or Nicaragua.
If you haven't noticed, gold has reached a new high, all-time highs, actually, and keeps going up every day. Why is that? It's because precious metals are a long-time historical store of value. And if you own a portfolio and you have assets in the fiat currencies, i.e. stocks, bonds, cash, or whatever, you're vulnerable to hyperinflation, which is coming as our debt explodes another trillion every 90 days. It's really scary. So how do you protect yourself? Go to Advisor Metals. If you look on any of our CDM.press sites, about halfway down, there's an ad for Advisor Metals. Click on it, fill out the form for your contact info, and Ira Bashatsky will contact you and talk to you. It's an easy conversation. There's no sales pitch. He's completely verified by us. He has a regulatory background we've checked into. We've checked with his bankers. We've checked with his IRA custodians for metals. And we can highly recommend Advisor Metals and ERA. So go to Advisor Metals. If you call them directly, tell them we sent you at CDM, and he'll definitely take care of you. But protect your portfolio, because you really need to. It's coming. Thank you.
Yeah, well, we went down. I went with Congressman Stile to Whitewater was one example. You know, pretty small community, college town, relatively liberal. But, you know, in comparison to their population, they've got a pretty large population of migrants. They don't speak normal Spanish. They speak a completely different dialect. So the bilingual teachers in the school, they can't teach these kids. They got to bring in different interpreters. Same with law enforcement. So what's happening is, even though in Wisconsin we have a relatively small number of illegal immigrants here, we primarily see the open border problem from the proliferation of drug trafficking. Where we used to have a central drug trafficking hub in Chicago, now that's branched out, and there are now hubs in Wisconsin as well. But again, every migrant population, if it's large enough in relationship to the population, starts overwhelming the education system, hospitals. I just met with a bunch of nurses right now, and you know they're being overwhelmed. I mean, first of all, there's a huge nursing shortage because a lot of them didn't take the shot. They weren't mandated. But there's growing violence in hospitals because the pathologies being caused by Biden's open border policy are under the radar, but they're pervasive in all of our society, schools, law enforcement, healthcare, and they're going to be with us for years, if not decades to come. But it's not being reported on.
Where are these immigrants living? What's their housing situation in the rural areas in Wisconsin?
Well, there was one report of a family of four in an outbuilding in the middle of winter. You know, we get down, you know, well below zero here with just a little space here. Oftentimes, there'll be a dozen or more people in a, you know, smaller one-room apartment. So, again, they're all going out, not all of them, but a lot of them are going out to work. You know, so they leave and they gather at a gathering site, and people who are looking for contract labor come up and they pick them up and probably pay them cash. And, you know, that obviously depresses American wages. So, again, it's, you know, I'm all for legal immigration, probably robust legal immigration. You know, we've got relatively low unemployment. Employers can't hire enough people. But illegal immigrants can be abused by unscrupulous employers. And it's that illegal flow, people being abused by unscrupulous employers, that also depresses American wages as well. So, again, this is a disaster. This isn't good for anybody. Quite honestly, we need to control our borders and then establish a legal immigration system so it's all above board and it doesn't depress American wages.
Years ago, this is goes back to the 1980s, when I was at CNN, I produced, I think it was a 9 or 10 part series. Peter Arnett was the reporter on it. And it was on the Simpson-Mazzoli immigration bill that was passed in the 1980s. And that actually required, if an employer hired an illegal at that point in time, that employer would be fined by the government. And it was never really enforced. So when you're taking a look at how to address this, what's the implication for people who hire illegals in the United States?
Well, you know, the new proposal on that would be E-Verify, which also is generally not enforced. You know, first thing we have to do is we have to get control of the situation. It's just the table stakes. And what's such a travesty about Biden's open border policy is we were so close. I mean, Trump, by and large, had the border secured. He was actually working with people like me and Mike Lee, Jared Kushner, establishing a legal immigration system. It took the 100-some visas, shrunk them down to 6, awarded those on a metric system. That's something that could have worked. You know, we're going to have to, in some way, shape, or form, how do we deal with the, what, about 30 million undocumented people in this country? This is a massive, massive problem. You know, there are members of some of the most brutal gangs in Central and South America in this country now. So this is a huge problem. The employment issue is just one component of that. And that's going to be a difficult one. I mean, you know, people, it's a cottage industry providing some pretty convincing IDs. I think when we were down to Whitewater, I think they said a very sophisticated, very complete set with a not a valid, but a social security number that worked. It's about $1,300. And so, you know, how can you hold employers accountable when everything looks on the up and up? And of course, you can't discriminate based on race. So, I mean, employers, listen, I used to run a manufacturing plant. I'm somewhat sympathetic with the tough spot that employers are in. Now, obviously, there are some that fully know what they're doing and are unscrupulous. You know, there needs to be enforcement on that as well. But this is a much larger issue right now, and you have to solve it step by step. The first step is secure the border, get control over that. Once you've done that, now you step back and you assess, okay, how many undocumented people are in this country? How many are dangerous? How many are currently working? Are we going to shut down industries by depleting these people of the people working here that have maybe been here for literally decades? I mean, how do you handle all this? I personally think as Americans, we're going to handle it with compassion if we can do it intelligently. But right now with the open border, there's no way to handle it intelligently.
So it is a number one issue. It's even above inflation and the economy. Pew just did another poll. It's not going to the, you know, number 10 by any stretch of the imagination. It's right up there. It's impacting voters. There is a, you know, President Trump has said that he, you know, he's going to have a mass deportation. Kamala Harris even tweeted, I think it was either 2019 or 2000, might have even been 2017. How is that going to work? So she's on the other side of this. If they don't want to close the borders, if they don't want to deal with whether it's, 11.5 since Biden's come in, and then you add on all of the other illegals that have gotten in the last 10 years. If they don't want to deal with it, do you think it's going to get into fraudulent voting?
Oh, it absolutely will. I mean, why do you think Democrats want mail-in voting? Why do you think they want absentee voting with no controls over the process? You know, again, it's certainly one of the rationales for them allowing people in. They're going to be very grateful to the Democrat Party for letting them in this country and exploiting our very generous asylum laws. So I think that's definitely the game plan. I think one of the more galling things that the mainstream media is doing right now is they're trying to erase Kamala Harris's past. You know, certainly as it relates to the border issues, as you stated, I mean, this is a top issue. So the first thing they have to erase in terms of from Kamala Harris's resume is she was never the border czar. I mean, the same people who dubbed her the border czar are now saying she was never the border czar. That's misinformation. That's a lie. You know, so if I go on one of the networks, I mean, if I go on a, you know, ABC This Week and I say she was the border czar, I'm sure George Stephanopoulos would say, Senator, that's misinformation. You're lying.
Well, that's the talking points that they have out there now. But we have the quote from President Biden at the time that he said that she was the border czar. What she did is she did not go down to the border until she had that interview with Lester Holt, And it was a week or 2 weeks after that when he said, you haven't been down to the border. This is after the appointment. And then she said, well, I haven't been to Europe either. Well, right. There was so much pushback and embarrassment about that. She went down to the border. Yes, she went down to Guatemala and El Salvador, but now she's trying to put the spin on there. Well, she was going down there to get to the root of the problem. Well, obviously, she was unsuccessful even at that, if that's her latest spin, because we've got a caravan still coming up here. And that was a couple of years ago. So how many more million have come in since then? So however she shakes it, it's a failure. Because she didn't stop them coming in, and she didn't fix it down at the root.
Precisely. So if she did, whatever she did on the border, it utterly failed.
And both places. Both places. And if she wasn't in charge with it, well, was Susan Rice in charge of it? Because apparently Susan Rice, who was the National Domestic Policy Advisor, didn't get along with Kamala. Well, and who on Kamala's staff was working for her, because she had 92% turnover.
Well, who was really in charge of it was Mayorkas, as DHS secretary. So he's the one issuing the orders to CBP, encounter, process, and disperse within 8 hours. That's your goal. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about following the law. We're going to grant, asylum anything else we can do to justify this. It'll all be overturned by the courts because it's all not faithfully executing our laws. But don't worry about that. Those court challenges will take years. And by that time, there will be literally millions of people in this country illegally who eventually will vote for us, who will be dependent on government in many cases. And people dependent on government are basically going to vote for the party big government, Democrats. So, I mean, to me, that is the rationale here. Because, again, there's nothing humane about their open border policy. Nothing.
Well, there isn't anything humane, but why can't we get rid of Mayorkas?
Well, the House tried. They impeached him. The Senate wouldn't even bring up a trial because Chuck Schumer said, well, there was no high crime or misdemeanor. Well, he lied to Congress. That's, the charge was lying to Congress. That's a felony.
That's becoming the norm, though, Senator.
Oh, no, I know. That's what I'm saying. Congress has allowed its oversight authority to atrophy. And so administrations with impunity can just blow off Congress and not be truthful, not comply with the subpoena requests. So until Congress starts actually enforcing its constitutional authority, its oversight, its enforcing subpoenas, by not relying on the Justice Department to prosecute these cases, Senator Sergeant Arms, go arrest those individuals until they comply with the subpoena. We have that power. We just have to start using it.
So let me move on to the other set of whistleblowers that you and Senator Grassley had before you the other day, and Senator Scott joined at the very end. And these are men who were involved with the DNA fingerprint, and that program goes back to, I think it's 2005, because I looked at that at that point in time on the borders. And I think it's a very good program, because when you have somebody in custody at the border, you take their fingerprints because you see if they've been in the country before and they've committed crimes, or you can cross-reference it through Interpol, even though that's not considered a law, it's an information gathering agency, as we all know, but they have connections with the law enforcement back in the foreign countries, and they can cross-reference that if they've been arrested in the past. That is not being enforced. I was quite astounded when I listened to that.
Well, first of all, understand that, when we developed DNA technology, they finally passed a law, I think it was 2005, they required, it wasn't optional, it was required when federal officials took somebody into custody, they were to take DNA so that you could start solving crimes, so you could prevent crimes. I mean, if you're taking somebody into custody on a lower charge, but a DNA match shows this is a murderer, you don't want to let them out. So again, it was originally passed to solve crimes and prevent crimes. But fast forward to the Obama open border policy and the reinterpretation of the Flores Settlement Agreement, when all of a sudden Obama was allowing families with children into the country because they didn't want to separate the families. Mm-hmm. And so now the human traffickers realize this is a really good law to exploit. So we're going to create family units. That's why they're selling children. So what you wanted to do is take DNA testing of the child and whoever's claiming to be their mother and father and make sure that this is actually a family, this is somebody's child. So that was actually supported on a bipartisan basis. I think what surprised me about this, even under the Trump administration, people within DHS completely resisted it. You know, people say, you enforce this, and what we're going to do is we're going to show you taking a DNA sample of a grandma, you know? We're going to publish that, and we're going to turn this into a huge scandal. So again, that's what I didn't get a satisfactory answer. I have no idea why people within DHS were so reluctant to take the DNA samples. Now, Eric Holder under Obama, you know, wanted a 1-year phase-in period because they didn't have the capability. I mean, I understand that, fine.
But they also had the development of the technology for the rapid. It takes about 90
bucks.
Minutes.
It's about $100. It used to be $200, now it's $100. So it's not the cheapest thing in the world, but I would spend $100 to make sure that that 18-month-old child is literally that 51-year-old man's child and not something he just bought for $84. I think that's worth $100.
Absolutely. And it's one of those preventive measures, which sometimes we in the West will spend a lot of money on the catastrophes and the tsunamis of a situation, but we don't understand that it's best to go upstream to prevent human trafficking. And that's one of the programs that I have always supported. I didn't realize it completely collapsed because...
Well, it just was never implemented.
It wasn't implemented.
For whatever reason, members of the deep state didn't want to do it. I can't figure that out. The only way we fix that is through these types of hearings. Again, God bless Chuck Grassley and the whistleblowers coming forward so we can highlight it. But again, the mainstream media is not covering that. They didn't cover up the, you know, shuffling of unaccompanied children into the arms of transnational criminal organizations and sex traffickers. Didn't cover that. So unless the mainstream media hops on board of this, it's very difficult to pass the laws or require administrations to do what needs to be done.
All right, Senator, I want to take a pause here. And on the other side, I want to come back and I want to talk about the Wisconsin BSL-4 lab and the leaks that have come out of there.
Sure.